My name is Jim Dingman. I want to welcome everybody to the September 6th meeting of the Pacifica National Board Strategic Planning Committee. And I want to ask everybody to bear with us tonight. We've had some technical problems, which we've solved, but we are going to have a vigorous discussion about the underwriting motion tonight. First of all, let me call the meeting to order, and can you take the roll?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. James Dingman.
Here.
Heather Gray.
Here.
Donna Grimes.
Donna has not been here for more than three times, so she's not officially part of the meeting committee anymore.
Okay. Julie here.
Julie's not here.
Julia Kennard.
Julia Kennard has been excused from these meetings.
All right. James McFadden.
I'm here.
Yeah. James Sagerton.
Here.
Polina Vasilev.
She's not considered for quorum, Polina okay. Vasilev.
Elizabeth Van Guten.
Elizabeth is excused. She's not here tonight.
And Susan Young.
Susan is also excused, but we have enough for quorum.
Okay. And then right. Alex is here. Chris Corey.
Chris cannot be here tonight.
Lyndon Foley.
Here.
Stephanie Wells.
Here.
And Lawrence Reyes.
Lawrence is not here yet. He'll be here in a bit.
Okay.
All right. Can you read out the agenda?
Hold on one sec. Okay, no, hold on one second.
Well, while you're reading that out, we won't really need timekeepers. Everybody will be disciplined. I'll read the agenda out.
I got it.
So, okay, go on.
Everyone, call to order 1 minute, 2, roll call 3 minutes, 3, timekeepers 2 minutes, 4, agenda approval 5 minutes. I'm going to put in 4A, which is approval of minutes from 8:15. 5, report from Heather Gray, Jim Dingman, programming 5 minutes. 6, report on NFT, Lyndon Foley, 5 minutes. 7, report on bonds, Cristobal, 5 minutes. Number 8, discussion on motion on underwriting, 70 minutes. Number 9, new business, 5 minutes. That's 8, sorry, 9, set next meeting, 2 minutes, and 10, adjourn, 1 minute.
All right, move to approve.
Second.
All right, thank you.
No, you don't do that. No, it's not needed in committee.
Okay, very good. All right, the minutes were sent out. Did you send the minutes out to everybody, John?
Yes, I sent them out last week, so everybody should have them.
All right, has everybody gotten them or looked at them? All right, well, I make a motion to approve the minutes. We're talking about which dates, John?
8:15.
All right, is there a second for that?
Don't need a second.
Okay, fine. All right, anybody opposed? All right, hearing none, we'll move on to the next agenda. The minutes are approved. we're just going to give a quick report from Heather Gray and myself on the programming. Heather, do you want to start? Just let us know what you're up to with the news programming.
I don't know how prepared I am for this evening, but we are working on a one-hour news program, and we'll be talking quite a bit about this at the next programming committee, which will be next week. So I'm really pleased with this because it will be a coordinated effort if we can get this approved by the board. Coordinated effort with the stations throughout the network, including some affiliates as well, to have a national one-hour news program, actually, once a week. So that's all I can say about it right now, Jim.
All right, thank you. I should add that we've had now three meetings on music programming. One was held with the affiliates. We are going to plan on more meetings that will be open to the public for their participation that will be dealing with arts programming, drama, Spanish language programming, public affairs programming, training, a whole variety of issues. That will be posted on KPTFX, and we will also be having outside experts coming in. The first person that's scheduled on October 8th is the arts editor for the Washington Post, who is also a former Pacifica veteran from the 1970s. His name is Mark Fisher. And he'll be coming on to talk about new media and also the FM revolution. And we're going to have a faculty member from the new school, and others are going to be slotted in as we proceed. So that's enough for that. Any questions or comments? All right, hearing none, let me move to the next issue, which is the NFT issue. Lyndon, I just wanted to get a sense of what progress we have on that.
Okay. Mainly because of Stephanie, we may have had some progress. She sent out a letter to Mr. Torres about 8 or 9 days ago, instructing him to get in contact with me. And I haven't heard anything from him, but I sent out a note this morning asking him when this week he could meet with me or speak with me to see, tell me how I can get access to things I've asked about. Now, Stephanie is on here, and if she'd like to comment, please do, because that's all I know, really.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I spoke with Mark this morning. He allowed me to share this information with everybody. He did test positive for COVID a couple of weeks ago and still had a positive test on Thursday. But I did speak with him this morning at great length and then followed up again this afternoon, stressing with him the importance of getting you access to this. So hopefully we'll be able to have, he'll be able to provide you with that access soon. I would hope by tomorrow.
Great.
Thank you.
We'll go on, Lyndon. Well, I would think at some point, Lyndon, we're going to have to just devote an entire session to this issue because a lot of us don't know what the hell this is about to start with.
Well, Alex has done a great deal of work. I don't know if he's made it into this meeting or not,
but he's
done a great deal of work looking in the last couple of months, just looking at some of the particulars like so we could satisfy some of the questions that people have as to how the contracts work. And, you know, they call it a smart contract. It's embedded in the blockchain. I don't really know what it's not superior, I don't think, to any other contract, except it's not paper, but it's all the same, you know, relies on the blockchain that seems to be such a big deal, but we're working out as many particulars as we can, and I think that if once we get get a set of audio tapes we can listen to, then we can pick one that we believe would be topical. And right now, like Susan really thinks the reproductive rights one, which is one of the ones I picked out that we should look at because it's certainly topical. Anyway, so then once we pick one out, then we can go through the process of getting it minted and paying for the gas. And, like I said, I believe we'll do that out. The cost will not be borne by Pacifica. And then we'll have to work on the really important part, which is going to be the marketing, reaching the people that we think would be interested in, ponying up the money for this. And that's about where we are. And, you know, I think I've requested less than 20 audios, and out of a sample size of over 50,000 for something that we have, I don't think that's excessive at all. I think it's a good start.
Great. Any comments or questions to Lyndon about this?
I can add a little bit. I did do a bit of research on this. As far as contracts go, contracts are like everything else in the blockchain universe. They're on the blockchain. They don't exist separately from the blockchain. And they call them smart contracts because they can be dynamic, depending on the changes in ownership and so on. The contract is still the same contract, applying to different owners, and there's other dynamic parts of it. It might be a little frustrating for those of us who are not used to the blockchain universe, because if you do a search on trying to get an example of a contract, what you're going to find is bits of JavaScript code. You're just not going to find like a plain English narrative that lawyers look for in contracts. Nevertheless, as far as I understand, the digital smart contracts are legal and are treated like any other type of contracts. We had some issues, questions about copyright issues and so on and so forth, and it's a long story, and I think probably we should discuss that in detail when we have a session devoted to NFTs, so I won't get into it now. But I just want to say that if we do adopt the NFT option, it does not in any way compromise the copyright of the original work that you're digitizing. But that really does involve a longer discussion.
Okay, great. Jim McFadden, you got a comment or question?
Both. First, the question, there's talk of doing this in blockchain for the contract, but it sounds like there's no reason to do it in blockchain. But why are we doing it in blockchain?
That's the only way you can do it.
You can't do NFTs other than, it sounded like they're the same. A contract in blockchain is no different than a contract.
It's part of the blockchain universe. There's no, that's the way it's done. Period.
So NFTs are only done as blockchain. Okay.
That's correct.
The comment though is, you know, something people may not like to hear it. It's an opinion, but, when you hear something like smart contract, anytime smart is attached to something, this is a marketing scheme. it has no meaning, and generally used to obfuscate. And there's whole books written on this, you know, smartphones, smart houses, smart everything. It's all part of the surveillance process. And I don't know if that ties into this particular kind of contract blockchain, but it, you know, when I hear that word bandied around, it makes me a bit nervous. I'm willing to entertain this.
It just means it's dynamic in a sense that it's not tied to a particular person or a particular transaction. But how dynamic it could be depends on the individual contract. I'm hardly an expert in this. I'm just sort of taking my first steps, learning about it myself. So.
All right. Thank you, Jim. And what comes to mind is a discussion I had with Professor Lawrence Lessig at Harvard Law School, who was one of the lead attorneys at the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and actually a year ago had promised to consult or discuss issues with us in Pacifica. So I think it'd be interesting to have him come in and maybe contact him again and set up a whole series of discussions about this kind of technology, because this is sort of fascinating, and I think the public would actually find it really educational to understand more about this. Do anybody else have any more questions to Alex on this issue? Or Lyndon? All right, hearing none, let me move to the next topic. Now, this is was supposed to have a brief discussion with Chris Corey on the bond issue. I don't know if anybody wants to comment on that. I don't know what's been done on that since the last time we talked about that weeks ago. Alex, do you want to add something to that, or has any significant work been done on that?
I know nothing.
All right, let's put that aside. If people will agree, we can sort of postpone that for another time. Any differing opinions about that? All right, hearing none, let me move to the next
one. Actually, I couldn't get my mute off. I just wanted to, just a quick, maybe I missed a meeting or something. So, the issue is this, for Pacifica to sell a bond. So we're going to borrow money using a bond mechanism. Is that the idea?
Alex or Lyndon?
Well, the original idea was to transfer the debt we currently have, which is, it's a way to transfer debt. Transfer it from an outside entity to our own supporters and members.
Oh, can I remember. Thank you for triggering. Okay, so this was the idea.
That was the original idea. I know that Chris ran into a lot of stumbling blocks, and I really don't know where it's at the moment.
Yeah, I assume that would, then you would, it would be a bond at a lower interest rate than
at least
one of the loans. One of the loans is you can't get much lower than it, so. Okay. Mm-hmm. Alright, thank you for jogging my memory.
Alright, well thank you. Any more comments about this before we proceed? Okay, hearing none, let's move to the next topic, the question of this motion on underwriting. Alex, do you want to take over on this one?
Okay. Well, you want me just to read the motion again?
Yeah, let's read. Put it up on the screen, and let's just go through it again. And any other comments about it, we can debate them or talk about them now.
Okay.
John, you just need to share the screen.
Yeah. Alex, did you send an updated motion?
I've been sending this for weeks, yes. I think it's called draft number 7 or something.
Correct, draft number 7.
I think I have it up on the screen.
Okay, all right, good. You. Yes, you do. Perfect.
Do you want me to read it?
Yeah, go to it, kid.
Okay. Be it resolved that a pilot program be established for a restricted form of underwriting to proceed at all Pacifica stations wishing to opt into the program for a 12-month trial. Stations participating are required to adhere to the national policies and procedures for this program. A review of progress in implementing the program and its effectiveness shall be undertaken by the Pacifica National Board together with Pacifica Management after 6 months and after 12 months. The resolution will expire. This resolution will expire unless renewed after the trial period has ended. At the end of the 12-month review, the Pacifica National Board shall decide to either terminate the pilot program, modify it, or develop a different approach to underwriting. Pacifica stations are an integral part of the communities they serve, and will strengthen those bonds by partnering with other community-based businesses and organizations. Our partners in underwriting will be nonprofit organizations whose missions are aligned with ours, local businesses, public interest, and cultural institutions. For those stations opting into the program, all programs, day parts, or portions of our website may be considered for underwriting. Pacifica considers its values, programming, history, traditions, audiences, and reputation priceless. Our listeners and supporters expect us and organizations with whom we associate to uphold the highest levels of ethics and internal and external policies and practices. Stations in the program will accept underwriting based on the needs of the station, availability of airtime, website availability, and compatibility with our programming and mission. As a basic matter of policy, the station will not accept financial support from any entity whose business practices conflict with our mission statement and programming. For example, no agreement shall be entered into with any entity that has a record of being anti-labor, anti-environment, support for fossil fuels, supports Wall Street, supports nuclear technology, supports big tech's invasion of our privacy, promotes racism or sexism, militarism, nationalism, and xenophobia, or supports the abridgment of the rights of women to control their own bodies, or the rights of the LGBTQ community for full equality, or the rights of immigrants. It is the responsibility of each station participating in the pilot program to present a detailed plan for implementation and oversight of the underwriting program at their stations. The plan must include real estimates of administrative costs for marketing, increased responsibility for engineers, etc., as well as realistic estimates of expected revenue. The detailed plans must be submitted to the National Finance Committee as part of their budget review within 30 days of the time they announce their intention to opt into the pilot program. To ensure editorial objectivity, the station in the program, well, it should be the stations, spelling error there. Stations in the program shall exercise considerable care to maintain a barrier between all programming and fundraising efforts. While this distinction holds for both music and news public affairs productions, it is especially critical for the latter. Consequently, we expect funders of news and public affairs programs to refrain from any attempts to influence editorial content. All editorial decisions are based on the judgment of local management of what is good journalism and not based on suggestions and agendas that further the interests of the funders, however legitimate those interests may be. The station, stations in the program shall discourage direct contact between funders and programming staff and volunteers. Contacts by funders must be made through personnel delegated by local management to handle those affairs. Each grant is subject to an evaluation period at the end of which either party may decide to terminate the grant agreement. A template for an underwriting contract is hereby provided. All underwriting agreements must use this template. And that template is part of Appendix A of this motion. Each underwriting contract shall be individually negotiated by the management of the local station. A schedule of fees shall be written into the contract. Premium rates will apply during drive time. Sponsors may select either a 10-second spot or a 20-second spot. No underwriting statement will be more than 20 seconds. All underwriting spots must be in compliance with FCC, CPB, and IRS regulations and the programming requirements of the station. See Appendix B for FCC and IRS compliance guidelines. Station management is responsible for maintaining records of all underwriting spots. An underwriter may not dictate the content of programs. An underwriter may support an individual program or a category of programs, for instance, music and arts. Every underwriting agreement must be submitted to the executive director of Pacifica for review. That's the motion. The other part of this are the templates of, there's a template of an underwriting agreement And there's also a template of the do's and don'ts of underwriting contracts that so that we don't violate FCC or IRS regulations. That's it, folks.
Okay, thank you, Alex. Anybody have comments on this? Stephanie, you want to chime in on this?
I think this motion covers quite a bit, which is great. I get on a regular basis, as I'm sure many people do on this call, emails of people voicing their concern that we will be, you know, overrun by corporations and donors, but we really will not be in any sort of underwriting, sponsorship, community partnership agreement and relationship. It is a relationship, and I always view it as the ones who are receiving that sponsorship, which would be Pacifica, are the ones that are in charge of where that money goes, how it's used, and we will not be restricted or told what to do by any donor or organization or sponsorship. I think it's a great way to diversify our revenue. And I think that the leadership of the stations and myself and the national board are more than capable of reviewing those contracts and determining who we will partner with and who we will not, and make sure that we ethically follow our mission. So I think it's a great step forward in diversifying our revenue stream and really reaching out and supporting the communities whose voice we are to be representing.
All right. Thank you, Stephanie. Jim McFadden.
Yeah, sorry. So I'm still a little, there's aspects of this that I'm a bit confused about. It sounds like the GM and PDs at each station come up. Let me actually go to the beginning. It says at the beginning of this motion, there's something about stations being able to opt in or opt out. Who decides whether it's opting in or opting out? Is it the LSB that decides, or is it the GM that decides?
General managers.
Okay, so the LSBs have no role in this at all. Is that correct?
The LSBs could certainly make recommendations.
Okay, but they have no power, right?
But they
have no power at all.
The LSBs, according to our bylaws, do not decide the policies of the station. The national board does that.
I'm not doing judgmental. I just want to make sure I understand clearly. So the GMs decide on the policy, which then goes to the PNB, which will okay, or does the ED?
No, you're confusing things. The policy is decided by the Pacifica National Board.
The GMs
decide whether they want to opt into this pilot program or not. That's it.
I thought they were going to say how they were going to, you know, how they were going to implement it.
No, we have established the rules for their implementation. If they want to opt into the program, they have to follow these rules. That's what it's all about.
Which means this prototype contract at the end.
They have to follow the restrictions outlined in this motion. That's correct.
Okay. Okay, and so the GM decides if he's going to opt in or opt out. Then at that point, he can negotiate. So there's no he'll inform, I guess, that he's opting in or opting out. And then at that point, he would or she would then go out and start negotiating contracts. Which I assume the GM can't sign those contracts. He can just negotiate those, and then they have to come to the ED who signs the contract?
No, the GM signs the contracts.
Okay, I thought there was something in there about the ED signing off on this.
Well, the ED will review all the contracts to make sure they're in compliance.
But if it's already been signed, then you're opening yourself up for a lawsuit, right?
Well, we can always opt out. there's always an exit to a contract. The contracts are written in such a way that we can always terminate.
Okay. Well, if it's written, who can terminate?
Huh?
Who has the power to terminate a contract
either,
signed
either
by
party,
the GM?
Either party, either the local station management or the underwriter.
Okay, so once the contract's signed and they're going to pay X dollars, there's going to be a acknowledgement of the underwriter online. That could start that day, but at some point in the future, the way the contract's written, the executive director could review it and say, I don't think this follows the guidelines, and so we're going to terminate the contract. Is that what you're saying? That's how
we'll
operate?
That would more or less be the process as I see it.
And the PNB's only role in any of this is just, this particular motion. That gives the GM and the PD.
James, if you wish to amend the motion to involve the PNB more directly, you're free to do so.
Right. I'm just trying to understand the motion as it's written right now, so I know what.
Well, I'm sorry if I'm feeling impatient, but we've been discussing this for 2 months. I mean, give me a break.
Don't get defensive about it. I just want clarification. That's all I'm asking for is clarification so I understand, how it all works. Okay. And I think I had one other, I think I got my questions answered. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jim. Heather.
Yes, I just wanted to say that, I'm so glad to see this final motion, Alex. You guys have done an excellent job. But here I am at a station, an affiliate station that does do underwriting, and I'm just so appreciative of this. I'm glad that Pacifica is finally going in this direction to actually be an integral part of the community, including the businesses in our communities. So thank you. That's what I wanted to say. Great work, Alex.
Thank you, Heather. Any other comments on this topic? Otis or Jim Sagerton, Lyndon?
Yeah, this is James.
Yes, sir.
It's for the benefit of the stream, those listening, if there are any. I would just say that this is something that I have initially opposed, but because of the really dire financial condition that we find the network in, we need to improve the quality and quantity of our revenue streams, and this is one way to do that. Please note the escape clause in this. It expires after a year. No station is forced into it. We can obviously evaluate it along the way if we see any issues developing or any negative trends. So, again, a temporary, actually even called, I believe, a pilot program measure to just see if we can get another revenue stream going, one which, many public, so-called public broadcast entities are using. And, of course, we want to try to use it in our own Pacifica way, not necessarily in the way they do it. It's been, in fact, specifically not in the way that it's done elsewhere. But it is a viable income stream, and certainly along with podcasting and greater use of streaming, these are revenue streams that we're late in getting into, and we need to do so now, hopefully for the better. And, again, we have an escape if we need it. That's all. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. Otis, are you there? Do you want to say something about this, or Lyndon? Mr. McClay? Lyndon, do you want to comment about this?
Yes, I'd just reiterate what Heather said. I think Alex has done a phenomenal job with this. I know it's gone through iteration after iteration. Hopefully it can get the support at the PNB that it's going to need so we can actually get this thing in motion. And this will be, I would say, like the first thing that, that we've actually done that is has a chance to make some money for the network, and it's a great thing. Thank you very much, Alex, and all those others who have pitched in to do this.
All right, any other comments on this?
Yeah, I have a comment.
Go on, Alex.
Yeah, when I responded to James McFadden that he could present a motion to involve the PNB more directly in the review process, that should be, you know, I meant that quite seriously. I don't know how Stephanie feels about being given the job of having to review all the contracts. that work could be done by some kind of a committee that would include Stephanie, but would include members of the board. There are a number of ways this can be done. This is not, the review process, it's not set, there's nothing set in stone here. If people think it would be, it make more sense to have, say, the strategic planning committee or some subset of it review the contracts with Stephanie, you could add that to the motion if you want.
Okay.
I mean,
all right, that's a good point, Alex. I'm going to make a comment. This is Jim Dingman. I read the paragraph. First paragraph has this sentence. At the end of the 12-month review, the Pacifica National Board shall decide to either terminate the pilot program, modify it, or develop a different approach to underwriting. My personal opinion is that we should have been doing this for the past 20 years. We should be doing it creatively, and it can certainly be one additional income stream, as we all know, that's needed right now. Am I saying it's a silver bullet? Absolutely not. It is one modification or exploration of alternative income streams that we need right now to develop. One thing I can see is who's going to go out and sell this. But I'd like to call the question on the motion. I say that we pass this and send it on up to the PNB. Is there any opposition to this?
I object to calling the question.
Okay.
I would like to discuss it some more.
All right, fine. Let's discuss it some more. Go on, Jim. Do you have some more comments about it?
I was working up to them. I was hoping somebody else would jump in, but first of all, I guess there's nothing in this that says there's any kind of dollar limit, right? So a GM could then sign a contract above $10K. Is that correct?
Yeah, so what?
Okay, I'm just, there's no, I just want to make sure I understand. So any issues on, you know, how big a chunk of money could come in, you know, and any implications of that?
Let me just interject something here, if I may. The PNB has policies that limit the obligations, contractual obligations that anybody can sign off on, but in this case, these are not our contract, you know, I mean, we're not the ones doling out the money. The money is being doled out to us.
I realize that. I'm just double checking that I understand this. I'm not, my questions are to understand not that if you hear judgment in my voice, it shouldn't be there.
Jeremy, I add to what Alex just said.
Yeah, go on.
In answer to this question.
Go on, Jim.
Yeah, Mac, this is, you know, we just dealt with and passed, a transaction limit, and this would fall under that, and that limit is 10,000. So anything that would go over 10,000 would automatically have to go in front of the board.
I don't agree with that.
I don't think so. I think this is an income coming in. It's not an out.
It's an income. Yeah, exactly.
The transactions go both ways. It's a transaction limit, not an incoming or an outgoing transaction limit.
I think the motion you passed was a spending limit motion, wasn't it?
Incorrect. It's a transaction limit.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, so it does come into play.
News to me. Okay.
Thanks for the clarification, James.
Sure.
The other thing that I was kind of wondering is, you know, I sent out a set of questions and I'm just kind of going through and I've got the answers now to most of the questions. But one of them was whether, there are any reports involved in this. So I would expect, that the stations would generate some kind of report. Maybe that's in here or something and I missed it. You know, regularly, maybe every 6 months, maybe, you know, on the effectiveness of underwriting. Hmm. And, you know, so that, and those reports ought to go to the PNB and probably to the LSB, just because it's just a, you know, how effective is this, you know, these programs? And I don't think it has to be a particularly complicated report. It says, you know, here are the contracts, here's how much money we're collecting. And, you know, this is the cost because there's going to be internal costs for making the carts and everything for this. And this is how much time we're spending, you know, soliciting this, you know. So if you hire, I could imagine a GM having somebody working full time on this. And if it's not very effective, you know, the cost of that person might be more than the cost of the underwriting coming in. So it's just, it seems like you need some kind of real report. And that would be used, you know, at the 12-month period.
Hold on, wait a second.
Yeah. Go on, Jim. And that would be just, you know, something would come in before this 12-month period where you decide to extend it. And probably yearly, just so we can, you know, because, you know, it might be real effective the first year, but not the second year. So just kind of a way to track it. And that would give the PNB some kind of a role, you know, in this, you know, to evaluate the effectiveness of this program.
You finished, Jim?
Yeah, thanks.
Go on, Alex.
Okay, the motion does state that the estimate of costs and estimate of revenue has to be presented to the National Finance Committee as part of the regular budget review. And by extension, stations that have local finance committees, they should be getting regular reports on underwriting and its progress from your general manager, as you get with every other kind of financial transaction that's going on at the station. And I understand there's one station that does not have a local finance committee, and I'm not quite sure how to deal with that in that situation, but there must be some kind of a mechanism for the general manager to report to the LSB about financial matters, whatever it is. In addition, the motion talks about the PNB doing a 6-month and a 12-month review, so obviously the PNB is going to want some numbers from the general managers as to how their underwriting program is doing. Yeah. So, I mean, we didn't dot all the I's and cross all the T's in the motion itself, but that's obviously implied in it.
The part of the reason I asked is that, like, you know, I wasn't sure about some of these things, so it sounds, you know, the station will implement it. Well, I would just like the wording to be clear. The GMs will, at each station will implement it. So we're clear who's actually doing the implementing. The station's implementing it might be LSB. So we should just, I think just a few GMs thrown in here and there. So it sounds like the GMs are the primary person who are doing all this work. And probably they ought to be the ones that generate a report, you know, so that, you know, you know, so at the 6 and 12 months, you know, some evaluation can be done.
All right, that's reasonable. Maybe as we're discussing this, Alex, might you think of some ways to tweak this a little bit while we're talking about it? I'm sort of curious.
If anybody wants to amend it, please send your amendments in writing, and we can discuss them.
Right. Heather, I'm just curious, your response to kind of questions that Jim's raising. How do you guys monitor it at your station? What's your experience with these other stations and how they actually keep track of the cost factors, pro and con, about all this?
That's a good question, and I really don't have an adequate answer, but I could do a little bit of research on it and let you know. We haven't had any major problematic issues with underwriting at our station. So I can't answer that, Jim. I'd have to look into find out what other people are doing.
Go ahead. Because my thoughts are that, part of this is a sales function. I mean, who's going to go out and sell the station? Because initially, to get this off the ground, I'm sure that one could appeal to producers. Okay, do you guys have relations with businesses or entities that you think would fall within the guidelines of what we're offering here in terms of this underwriting motion that would support your show? Go on, Heather.
We've been doing underwriting for years now at our station. Never have I had anyone who's involved in underwriting coming and asking anyone at the station that question. Never.
Okay.
Haven't heard of it. So, but, you know, the thing is, our underwriter, it's usually been Abdul Manan. He's absolutely wonderful. But, I mean, he just goes out and talks to various folks in the communities. I mean, it's not that difficult a thing, but it has not been anything that I'm aware of that anyone has recommended to him for doing that. But I still need to do a little bit of research on that, though.
All right, because the thing that pops in my mind is who's going to be the salesperson. Obviously, we're dealing with a Pacific environment, so it's a little different than another environment. But, yeah, it's an interesting question about the cost factors of all this. I'm just wondering where we could insert something like that to have a reporting function, but I guess if you look at this, the first paragraph actually covers that a little bit, the way it's written. A review of the progress in implementing it will be undertaken by the board together with Pacifico managers after 6 months and after 12 months. Does that seem sufficient to you, Mr. McFadden? Go on, Jim.
I guess, it could always be reset. I mean, the fact that it could be, that it's in there, that it has to be extended after 12 months, it can always be rescinded, I guess. There's no a priori reason that it couldn't be rescinded, 3 years from now if it's disturbing, if it's a problem. So I guess I don't see a problem with that. It's good that it has something that it says it has to be renewed, or it has to be, require at least that one 12-month review. Did we get sent a copy of this motion this week?
I think it was sent.
Was it attached to any of the
past
emails?
Several weeks? I think you were up there on the hills.
I was gone. Yeah. I was gone, and there was some variation on this I saw earlier.
Yeah.
But if I'm gonna try to figure out where to tweak it, like plop in some GM here and GM there, which I think we should do. I think it should be clear who that person is.
Let me make this suggestion on this. Obviously, we're entering into territory we have not been in before, and so this is going to be tweaked anyway. My feeling is that we should just get the show on the road and then tweak it as we go along, because we're going to tweak it anyway. Implementing it is going to be an educational process, so I just think that
tweaking it at the PNB level rather than
we can tweak it at the PNB level, and we're going to get people arguing with us about all the very nature of this. But
this is James with a point of personal privilege.
Go on, James.
Yeah, I have to switch devices here, so I'm going to be hanging up on one device and zooming in on another device. I have to. Trying desperately to get the agenda for the finance committee together while we have this conversation, and I'm wanting you to know that at 8:30 I have a hard exit from this meeting. If you want to get a vote in, if you want me to be part of that, you have to do it rather quickly. So give me a chance to get off and get back on again, though, before you do. Thanks.
All right. Alright, yeah, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to just vote on it. I mean, I, you know, I hear you, Jim, on all this, that's, you know, people are gonna tweak this. I just soon get this, off and running, and we can tweak it as we go along.
And then, point of order, I think we're going to lose a quorum if James drops.
Alright, well.
No, you don't lose a quorum.
Yeah, James.
Quorums are established at the beginning of the meeting.
Right. Okay, there's Jim. All right.
Right.
Well, anyway, Jim, can I call a question again, Mr. McFadden, or what?
I've had my questions answered, and that's all I want. The same questions I wrote in into an email, but I just filled it out here. So now at least I understand what this is, and knowing it's going to – I think I'm going to be – amending it at the PNB level if we don't do it here, and I'm happy to do it then.
All right, great.
But so yeah. I'm not going to stand in the way of this.
All right, very good. Who is that? Heather, go on, Heather.
Can I just say something quickly?
Go on, Heather.
I know I'm going to be repeating myself with everyone, but as you all might know, most of my work has been in cooperative economic development. Okay, working with farmers across the South and cooperatives and so forth, and the development of cooperatives, which are also, many of them are also small businesses. And it really was a lesson for me because my attitude toward business and small businesses in the community radically changed when I was doing this work, which I did for 25 years as Director of Communications of the Federation of Southern Cooperatives. And that's why I'm so pleased that community radio stations are actually going to finally, or at least in Pacifica, be respectful of the community and the small businesses that we have. I think it's a wonderful opportunity for us to actually be an integral part of the communities where we are performing and not performing, but having our radio programs and so forth, and reporting in our communities, which we probably need to do more of, and reporting on the local communities. But I'm thankful, Alex, for the work that you've done and others in doing this. So thank you.
All right, thank you.
Countless ways. Thank
you. All right.
Can I add one more thing?
Yeah, go on, Jim. Go on, Jim.
It's just that I think there's some people that really wanted to be in this meeting, Beth being one of them, and they're going to be rather upset if this goes forward today. You know, I'm just stating something. I'm not making a judgment about it. I don't know about the others that are, because we have a fairly small forum here, and I don't know about others who might have strong feelings about this, you know, on the committee. So because I haven't been involved in the last week or two. So, I just wanted to put that out there that, if it got past next week, where there's a regular scheduled meeting, I think some people would be much happier about this that are on the committee.
All right, fair point. We can always pass it and then argue about it another time. I just think that given the financial emergency we're in, it's worthwhile to just get these issues implemented. And then, you know, respect Beth and everyone else. I'm pretty sure.
I just sent everybody a copy of the amendment of the motion again.
All right. Thank you. I just soon, pass it and then we can argue it, at the PNB level, and we're going to be arguing it anyway.
Actually, next week, at the PNB level is not going to get argued this week.
No, we know that.
And it'll be after that. And so the following week, it could be modified even if we pass it at this meeting.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be modified.
So it's not a big issue.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. I mean, that's the point. I mean, we're going to hear a lot of people with a lot of different opinions about this, but I would like to just call the question, to pass this motion. Is there any opposition to this?
I'd just like to be recorded as abstaining. So I'm, I have mixed feelings on that, but
yeah.
I'm not going to stand. I'm going to stand aside.
All right. Heather, your vote.
Yes, I support it.
Jim Sagerton.
Yes.
Stephanie Wells.
I don't believe I'm a voting member.
Oh, all right. Sorry about that. Jim Dingman, yes. And Alex, I don't think you can vote, unfortunately.
No, I cannot vote.
All right, but yes, I want to also thank Alex for the hard work, and frankly, everybody who's been working on this issue, because it's, you know, been argued about for 20 years or more. So I want to thank you so much, Alex, for the work you guys put into this.
Absolutely.
And we know that everybody's going to argue some more about this, so the hell with it. We're going to have a lot of debate about this, but let's just get to the next level with it.
And then James McFadden, what's your vote?
I'm going to abstain.
Okay.
And I think I'm just going to make one suggestion is that you still have this on the agenda for next week. So, cause I'm sure people will want it to be discussed further and maybe next Monday some modifications will come out of people because basically by passing this, they know it's going to go to the PNB and people will get off their butts and all right, fair changes.
All right, fair point. All right. Now, is there any new business? All right, hearing none, we'll move to the next thing. Now, when is the next meeting date scheduled, John?
I believe it's September 12th.
September 12th. Is that a good date for people?
No.
Not for you. I know you're on the island. You're in the...
Why are you scheduling another meeting like 6 days from now?
Well, so according to Susan's email today was like we said we would do it on the second Monday of the month. So if that's a thing, then I'm going to comply with that. If that's not a thing, we should probably come up with a regular meeting day.
Is that a motion that was passed by? Is that a motion that was passed by this committee or by the national board?
That precedes my arrival, so.
Do you know, Jim?
Yeah, that was initially, I mean, given what's going on, everything has been going haywire. And plus we've been trying to accommodate different people's schedule. Is that a scheduled meeting the 12th of September for this, at this point on KPP?
Let me take a look. I don't think so.
You can't do it then, because it's less than 7 days.
It's always scheduled.
Okay. There's a meeting on KPFTX for September 12th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, but you can
okay. Likely I will not be able to be there.
All right. Well, so we do have a meeting scheduled for the 12th to discuss this. And let me just make sure that it's the same kind of meeting we're talking about because I have all these different task force type meetings in operation. Because yeah, sure, we could bring in a lot of people to talk about this further argument.
Yeah.
Let me just see. And I also would like to, suggest that at some point in the near future, we have a public open meeting about this to hear from a lot of people. But I do think we should move forward and get this implemented. But anyway,
If I may suggest, it's good to have a lot of debate on this, but it should be centered on the actual motion that we're discussing and not on all these myths that people think.
Correct.
We're talking about. There's been a lot of misinformation about this.
Correct. There's been, I don't want to use very pure New York phrases. I'll refrain from that, but, the most charitable one will be a lot of mishigosh. But anyway, all right, so if we have a meeting scheduled that date, if Alex can't come, great, we'll let other people know about it. And yes, indeed, I think we should have a public meeting on this. There will be opportunities to debate this issue. The ad hoc working group is going forward to do all sorts of things on this. So we can certainly, if we have a meeting scheduled already, we'll do it on that date. And great. Any other comments before I move to adjourn?
I want to thank Alex again. This is Heather. Thank you, Alex.
Thank you.
So I appreciated the additional work that you did in expanding the motion and so forth. You did an excellent job. Thank you.
All right. And Jim, Mr. McFadden, we can bring other people in. We can bring other directors in to discuss this with us. I know Lawrence wanted to come. Lawrence just got out of the hospital on Sunday, so he wasn't around for this. But we can bring other people in to debate this. Yeah, Jim.
Jim, I have to get off the call now, so I'm going to say goodbye to everyone.
Okay, cool. Great. All right, good luck.
Bye, all.
All right, so I make a motion. Yeah, go on, Jim. You want to say
something? I was just going to say one thing. You know, I think it's one thing to have, you know, to move forward with a motion that goes to the PMB. You know, this body isn't passing a motion. We're just sending a motion on, you know, at some point. So it's, you know, where the real debate happens is at PMB levels. So I have no real problem with that. It just reduces the amount of debate at the PMB level if we get the wording, you know, a little better. So.
Yeah, I agree, Jim. And we can have other people, we can do public debates on this. We're going to hear, a lot of different opinions about this, but I agree with Alex on the issue of, let's cut through some of the BS. All right. Well, anyway, I make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
All right. Any opposition? Okay. I will get back to watching the U.S. Open. So you guys have a great evening.
Bye.
All right. Thank you.